Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's. Right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
It is Mustard and Johnson on this Saturday morning, and we're just counting it down to Tuesday night at 8:09 for the first time in 5 years, for the fourth time in 14 years. The Red Sox, bulletin, are going to the World Series. And I did not think a week ago, Larry, as we were thinking about the Astros and Red Sox and how things would unfold in the ALCS, that we'd be talking about the World Series on Saturday. I thought we'd be talking about a Game 6, because I was sure the Nostradamus of the Mustard and Johnson show predicted, not so well, that this series, I didn't know who was going to win, but it surely would go 7 games and an evenly matched battle between the two best teams in the American League. How could it not go right to the bitter end? Well, here we are after 5 games. Red Sox headed to the Fall Classic. I can't believe it.
Most of the baseball pundits predicted that Houston was going to win, that they had the experience, the talent, the pitching, and that they were going to be able to eliminate the Red Sox. And I think the what I love about not just obviously them clinching that series, I love the way they did it, giving us enough time to savor for a minute what this team has accomplished, even during the playoffs. Too often they win a series and then they move on to, you know, quickly move right on to the next one, and you never get a chance for a second to appreciate a job well done by any number of people on this team, starting with the manager.
Well, I think the star of this postseason is Alex Cora. I mean, you can look at an organization that has put together some great prospects who have made it to the major leagues. This is a, this goes back to Theo. It goes back to Charrington. Dombrowski has taken advantage of a deep farm system developed by those two people. Made a couple of key deals, and I think the best thing he did, I think that if you go back and look, obviously J.D. Martinez, certainly the cornerstone of that lineup that completely transformed itself this year. But the best thing he did was firing John Farrell, because they had all the talent. The question was, could they get to that next step? By bringing in Alex Cora, everything has just flowed since then.
They meshed.
Yeah.
They
and he's the guy.
They galvanized. He came together.
Right.
He's kind of laid back. I love his honesty. I don't think the guy has lied that much throughout the season on decisions that he has made. I think he stuck by Price the other night when others were saying, no, don't pitch him. And Price has come up with a combined 2 games. He got over 10 innings pitched.
Well, I wouldn't go so crazy about the first game against the Astros.
No,
the team managed to come back and win.
The first one wasn't, but that was the reason not to pitch him the second time around.
No, I would say he's had one very good postseason performance. Let's not make this into David Price has emerged as a great postseason pitcher because he had one game.
I think you got to give him a lot of credit. I think you give him a lot of credit for coming out. I know he gets paid a lot of money. We understand all of that. But the reality is he came out and he pitched and he gave him some nice innings, had the changeup working, and it was a pleasant surprise to me. And I think we've been kicking the guy all year and I think it's nice to come out and say, you know what, David, job well done.
See, I've looked at it completely different. I always felt that eventually He had to. He was too talented not to win a postseason start. For me, every start that David Price had, including the one against the Yankees, including the first one against the Astros, I expected him. Every time he went out to the mound, I actually expected him to do well. I mean, how could anybody with that kind of talent be that bad?
Because mentally, because again, it's still a game and we're human beings. And mentally, mechanically, whatever you want to call it, these guys can fall into a slump. And it's very, look at Kimbrel. I mean, he scares me half to death when they bring him in. Scares me half to death.
Well, you look
Price
at
Price said he found something in the bullpen.
Well, I think working 40 pitches in the bullpen, waiting possibly to go into that epic Wednesday night game. And he was the most elated because I think the fact that the Red Sox managed to hold on when Benintendi made that catch at 1:25 in the morning. And I'm going to admit, I wasn't there.
I was listening okay. on the radio.
Oh, you were listening on the radio?
Yeah.
And Joe couldn't believe it. Joe's call, I heard later.
Joe almost fell out of his chair.
Yeah, he did.
I guess he did.
Yeah, I guess he did. Joe has been, if you're a radio play-by-play guy in baseball, Joe's had more great calls in the last 15 years than anybody. So many great opportunities, and Joe had another great one, of course, in that Wednesday night game.
Let's face it, that was a great play, because if that ball gets by him,
it's a tie game.
Tie game at least.
It's a tie game anyway. Maybe the guy from first makes it home. But the guy that, other than Joe, the most elated person on the field was David Price.
Yeah.
Because he knew a 3-1 lead is a hell of a lot different than suddenly a 2-2 series.
Right.
And the cloud
You were playing
lifted.
With house money.
Right.
You didn't have, I can't say you didn't have pressure on him. He did. But I mean.
But knowing you have two games coming back to Fenway. Yeah, so he loses.
Not the same.
So he loses on Thursday. And our opinion of David Price hasn't changed at all. And there are two games back at Fenway Park. And you know, and if the Red Sox were playing tonight against the Astros and then tomorrow night against the Astros, I'd still put my money, no matter what the advantage was in the World Series, 3-2 Astros or the fall class, the ALCS, 3-2 Astros or 3-2 Red Sox, I'd still put my money on the Red Sox to win those two games. So I think it was certainly, I don't think it's a lot. Was it easier for David Price to pitch on Thursday with the knowledge that he had a very comfortable 3-1 lead? Probably. On the other hand, he still had to go out there and do it. And you still had to look behind you
in terms of if you lost that game, who are they going to trot out?
Well, Sale would have pitched tonight in game six.
Yeah.
And then Eovaldi would have pitched on Sunday. And that wouldn't have been too bad. So he had.
I think Eovaldi is one of the unsung heroes of this. The guy is just amazing. Every time they brought him in. And the you know how he performed, what he did was absolute nothing short of amazing.
And you can make the case in any of these series, best of five or best of seven, game three is often very critical. He's been the game three starter and winner in two of those series. And yes, he had a lot of offensive support in the 16-1 game and in the 8-2 game, but he just snuffed out the Yankees. Snuffed out the Astros, and who would have saw that coming? His first two starts for the Red Sox, if you remember in the summer, fantastic. But then he kind of leveled off again. And then when Bregman, big mistake, Alex Bregman, with the back-to-back-to-back video when Eovaldi was pitching for the Rays, not a good idea.
Yeah.
Not a good idea, Aaron Boone.
Houston
playing
did not come off as invincible as they were advertised as being. I thought Ryan Brazier did a great job for the Red Sox. Didn't give up any runs in four games. Didn't give up any runs.
So who would have thought that the Red Sox, not favored by many to win the ALCS in spite of the 108 games, would do it with Jackie Bradley Jr. named the MVP, Chris Sale not even a factor, the middle relief coming up big, and David Price finally winning his first postseason start. Improbable.
I remember a couple of years ago when we were doing this show and we had people, I think it was Tony was calling in and a few others, and they were raving about this Benintendi and wait until you see him and he's going to be a star and You're saying to yourself, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they say that all the time about players. But he has been solid. He has been very solid. Got 5 hits for them during this playoff series and 4 runs he scored. And he's in his defense has been better than I could have ever imagined. And that catch he made was, again.
Well, the reason why you don't think of him as being a great defensive player is because you have 2 great defensive players out in the outfield alongside. Yeah. And you think about the 2 big plays in the Wednesday game, the interference call in the first inning. And for the Red Sox, fortunately, whether you think it's a home run or not, the ball was on the glove side of Mookie. So he has a left-handed glove, reaches up with the left hand. Same thing for that dive to Benintendi. It's to the right side. Yeah. Benintendi's a left-hander. He's got the right-handed glove.
Yeah.
If the ball were to the opposite glove, that would have been a little bit different.
It would have been a problem.
Yeah.
I thought the Betts play, I thought they interfered with the glove. It looked like they pressed against the glove. Because I think he would have made that catch. Certainly, he made the next one.
Let's
he
put
had
it this
to make
way.
Like that.
Let's put it this way: if it were any other outfielder, you wonder if Joe West would have given him the benefit of the doubt. Remember, they used to say this, and I wasn't around. I know I'm old, but I wasn't around in those days. If Ted Williams took a ball, then the umpire always said, "Well, if Ted Williams takes it, it's got to be a ball."
It's got to be a ball.
I think Joe West knew who was going for that ball and gave Mookie Betts, being a great outfielder, 2-time Gold Glove winner, is probably going to win another one this year. Well, if it's Mookie Betts, if he can't make that catch, then it had to be fan interference. I think you can make a case either way. It turned out to not be a controversy because, you know what? The Astros came back, took a lead, and they couldn't hold it.
Yeah, he made a nice peg, though.
Right, that,
That play to second base was amazing, particularly when he had – remember the Brunansky play where he had to dive and make that catch? And
we
missed it, and McDonough made the great call on that.
Against the White Sox. Yeah. Ozzie Guillen, a line shot down into the corner.
Brunansky!
And the camera did not have coverage.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, the camera did not have coverage on that Altuve hit because they did not have, apparently they had a camera that was positioned on the wall, but there was some security guard who was blocking the view so they couldn't see. It didn't turn out to be the fact. Listen, the
by
Red
the way,
Sox
that was
ripped
the strangest the- damn play, call. You talk about what's wrong with baseball. That story about some guy who had no credentials hanging around the Red Sox dugout with a camera. And baseball just brushed it off like it was nothing. I don't know what the heck you're thinking to just brush that off like it was nothing. You've been down on the field. I've been down on the field. And you know if you don't have credentials, you're not getting down there. So I don't know who this guy was or what he was doing. But the fact that they brushed it off the way they did was amazing to me.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL would brush that off, do you?
I don't know if any of
Has
them
Has that ever
would.
Happened in the NFL? Anybody trying to steal signs or signals or anything?
I remember that Hank Stram game against Kansas City when the Patriots were – Kansas City was on, like, the 2-yard line, time running out. Lynn Dawson goes back to throw a pass, and a fan who was in the stands or something ran out – I saw the footage – ran out on the field, knocked the pass down, and then ran back up in the stands again. So, I mean, there are situations where that happens.
I don't remember that one.
But anyway, amazing. I'd like to spend some time, and we'll get to the Patriots later. The Celtics played last night. You know, they still got to find out who they are. I loved having Haywood out there. I like an offensive answer. I don't think they have enough of that, but we'll get to that in the Patriots. But I like to spend a little bit of time just talking about the Red Sox, giving them their just due for what they have done. I think
well, you think about where this whole thing began in the postseason before the Yankee series. There were a lot of people who had this feeling in the pit of their stomach that these 108 wins were hollow. It was a very lopsided league. There were a lot of really bad teams in the division. 108 wins in 2018 really didn't mean the same as maybe 108 wins in a different year. That the Red Sox were good, but the Yankees and the Astros, even the Indians, could easily meet their match. And
see, I think we all agree to that. I think the 108 wins was something to be lauded, but at the same time, we kind of held our breath because we said the competition just is not that hot this year.
Right.
There's about five teams that are excellent, and aside from that, it you know. So I thought when they went into the playoffs, I thought it was a whole new deal, and all bets are off. Who cares about the 108 wins? Because now they're playing against some real competition.
And think about it. You go back to that first game against the Yankees. They win it 5-4. We're here the next day, 2 weeks ago, talking about, well, really, that the Yankees lost that game, but that was really not a convincing Red Sox win at all. And you have to almost believe that the Yankees took some confidence from that loss. And the very next night, they blow the Red Sox out 6-2. And everybody's panicking now because how are the Red Sox going to possibly go down to Yankee Stadium, where the Yankees had won, I think, seven straight postseason games? How are they possibly going to go down to the Bronx and come out of there alive?
I think Cashman's going to have to get his toolkit out, though, because they're going to have to do some serious evaluating on that team down there in terms of the pitching and the age of some of the players. But
well, they have a lot of young. No, they have a good farm system. They have a lot. Believe me,
well,
Larry,
it's
do
time
not
to bring up
Larry. Do not feel sorry. They have a lot of great young
players. I
don't
feel sorry for them.
You're making it sound. Wait a minute.
No, no.
I'm being defensive.
If I'm a Yankee,
well, I'm
embarrassed.
No, they're
16, the one beating they took.
Right.
And,
okay, that's embarrassing. But no, I will say this as a Yankee fan as I am. The Red Sox and Yankees will be fighting it out for the next 5 to 6 to 7 years. There's a lot of talent on that team. They have to work on starting pitching. And as embarrassing and as humiliating as that was, and I give the Red Sox were the better team. Red Sox were better the team against the Astros. But it's not as if the Red Sox are head and shoulders above everybody else. They're playing that way now. Okay, they are the best team. They're going to win the World Series. I don't think anybody who emerges from the National League, Brewers or Dodgers, is going to give the Red Sox much of a problem. But I guarantee you the Yankees and the Astros will be back next year. It's not as if the Red Sox are leaving these players.
Oh, no, nobody's saying you got a dynasty here.
Right.
But I do think they're, like I said, the outfield, you can't do any better. By the way, that's going to be a problem when they're playing National League rules. They're going to have to sit one of their outfielders down.
You know, there are a lot of general managers and managers. You know what they're saying about that? I'd love to have that problem. Gee, who am I going to have to sit?
I'm
stuck with these four out. Lou Gorman, somewhere, spinning in his grave. Where can I possibly put him?
They could always move Betts to second base.
They're not going to do that. This is what they're going to do. I guarantee this is what it, listen to me, because I'm the one who said this series is going seven games.
You're always right. Evan from the NBC Sports, you thought the Houston was just going to blow the Red Sox out.
Hold on a second. Can I jump in there a little bit?
Sure.
Who the heck, other than Alex Cora?
Well, that's a strong
word. By the way, you said that that Alex Cora is laid back. Alex Cora went on a rant against
Evan Roberts
because he thought in the Game 5 matchup that somehow or another, that Evan Roberts, he's out of his mind. I can't believe it.
But
let me finish. This is ridiculous. What kind of take is this? He thought Verlander had the edge against David Price in that matchup. I can't believe Evan Roberts would say something so ridiculous. It's egregious he said something like that. That's crazy.
But no, I mean everybody is capable of flipping a switch.
No, but why, Alex Cora? You're better than that. You've proven yourself. Pay no attention to anybody behind the microphone. It means nothing. It means nothing. You really believe that Alex Cora used that and gave that to David Price as ammunition?
You never know.
Please, that'd be the last thing
you
David Price needed.
I don't think there are many people this morning being critical of Cora.
Oh, I think he's great.
On his birthday.
Right. But I would say that worried about what Evan Roberts said on the MLB network, I think you're being a little picky. I mean, come on. David Price had a great performance.
You're a Yankee fan. You got to try and take a jab when you can.
No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. If going into that game, you're telling me that you felt good about David Price going against Justin Verlander?
No, I told you I didn't.
Okay. That's all Evan Roberts said. He said you got to favor Justin Verlander in that game. He's proven it in the postseason.
So was nine.
Right. So why is Alex Cora going so crazy over
that? They gave up that two-run homer.
Right. Three-run homer, wasn't it?
Was it two or three? I thought it was two.
Three-run homer.
4-2, I thought they went.
4-1.
4-1.
Yeah. 4-1 was the final. Three-run homer Devers in the sixth inning. Anyway.
So anyway, we're talking about that. We want to get opinions from you, what you think about this team going into the next series.
Well, wait a
minute. And also, I'd like to take some time and you pick out a couple of players that you particularly were impressed with in terms of how they came up with. Mookie Betts is a 5-tool player. There aren't that many of them around anymore, but he hits with power. He hits for average. He's got speed.
He runs, he throws.
He's got the arms.
Yep. He's got everything.
Really, you can't beat him.
But you know what? Last year, after having the great year the year before, it was kind of a down year for Mookie. And I think Alex Cora, again, you know, I was chastising him a little bit a minute ago for being a little thin-skinned about Evan Roberts. But whatever Cora's done and the decision to bring him over here, whether it was Dombrowski or Henry, whoever made that decision, it was brilliant. And you think about it, Larry. Go back to these the previous three World Series wins or just appearances. In 2004, rookie manager Tito, they go to the World Series and win. 2013, rookie manager Farrell, they go to the World Series and win. And what do you know? Alex Cora, rookie manager, could be going to the World Series and win again. So, good omen for the Red Sox.
I think Tito and Cora were probably two of the better managers they've had in a long time.
You're ripping Farrell?
Not ripping him, but I think even when he won, people...
But you'll really think about it. Changing managers for the Red Sox is a very good thing to do in the 21st century. Because every time you do it, except for Bobby Valentine, little asterisk there, it usually works. And do you really, come on, I know you don't want to be overconfident because you're a Red Sox fan and you don't want to jinx or curse them, but is there any possible way?
Oh, I'm not going to go that route.
Oh, come
that
on.
You go.
Oh,
no,
come on.
I'm not doing that.
All right.
You do that every football season. You go through the schedule ahead of time.
Yeah, I say the Patriots are going to go to the Super Bowl, and I'll say it again this year.
Say it again.
All right, do you think the do you think the Patriots won't go to the Super Bowl this year?
I don't know. I really don't.
Are you serious?
I'm not that. You thrilled with their defense?
Okay, let me, because I want to.
Are you thrilled with their defense?
If you're looking at the Patriots.
Other than Flowers.
Let me just put it this way. Okay, and Danny's listening, and this is the way Danny's thinking this morning, because I know Danny and I are simpatico. Our wavelengths are connecting, even as we speak. By winning that game, instead of being four games behind in the race for the AFC title game, home field advantage, they are now one game behind. Do you really think Kansas City can come back up here in the AFC title game and beat the Patriots again? They're going to beat them twice in Foxborough?
No, see, I think Kansas City's got the same problem. Their defense is not
that
strong.
But because the Patriots won that game, that's the most important game of the year. Now they're only one game behind.
Right.
Makes a huge difference. And if they get the home field, they're going to go to the Super Bowl because that's the way it always works with the Patriots. And I put my money right now. Their defense needs some work. But I'd still put my money right now based on what I saw on Sunday night. You have to, Larry.
I think they're I don't know if Pittsburgh will ever pull it back together.
But let's get back to the Red Sox for a second.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Right. Give me a scenario. And I can't see it. Milwaukee or L.A.
First of all, you're bringing Sale out to pitch game one.
Okay.
He's not 100%.
All right.
You know that.
You also realize.
And of all people, him losing weight is like me gaining, right?
I'm trying to figure that out.
A good thing.
Okay.
You know, neither one of us can afford to miss.
So Chris Sale is someone you're concerned about.
Yes.
Because of his physical condition. We know that he's lost his the velocity on the fastball. He was really physically subpar the last time he pitched. We understand that. But does anybody on the Dodgers or the Brewers strike fear into your hearts? The National League is inferior.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think the Red Sox should be favored. I really do.
I think they should be overwhelmingly favored.
Yeah.
And think about their track record. I know it's a different team. They're different players. But the Red Sox, for all the ineptitude and frustration and heartbreak and everything that happened in postseasons in the 20th century, are they atoning for it in the 21st century or what? 3 World Series, 10 wins, 2 losses, 2 sweeps, dominated the Cardinals twice, and, of course, the Rockies in between. I just can't see how the Dodgers or Milwaukee have any shot at all against the Red Sox. Maybe the Dodgers. If I'm a Red Sox fan and I'm worried, I'd probably rather play the Brewers, because I don't know if the Brewers are ready for the harsh spotlight, the prime time of the World Series. The Dodgers were there last year. They know what it takes. They have Kershaw. They have a deep bench. So maybe the Dodgers would give the Red Sox a little bit better of a game.
Certainly know their manager.
Right. And you'd have another former utility player of the Red Sox in the other dugout. That would be interesting. So I guess if you're looking for the best matchup, it's the Dodgers. And in baseball, you got to be. Baseball has to be down on its knees praying.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
For the Dodgers and Red Sox.
L.A. Red Sox. Oh, yeah.
That would be fantastic.
You can imagine, yeah.
That hasn't happened. The Dodgers haven't played the Red Sox in a World Series since 1916. So that would be interesting when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers. And I think Casey Stengel was in the outfield for the Dodgers and Babe Ruth was pitching for the Boston Red Sox. It's been a long time since the Dodgers and Red Sox played in a postseason game.
Those left coast games wouldn't be something to look forward to.
But they're going to start probably at 8:09, though.
8:09?
Maybe a little bit later, but I'll tell you what, and you probably heard the rant. Ordway played it yesterday. I actually heard it live. Russo on satellite radio and Mad Dog Radio has just gone out of his flipping mind with these late starts in 4 hour and 15, 30
well,
minute games.
To be up at 1:15,
I know.
For Benintendi's catch was crazy. It's crazy,
right?
I mean, everybody's walking around in a coma right now with these games.
It's 8:09 at Fenway for the first two, Tuesday and Wednesday. The good news, Larry, is remember the 3 games in L.A. are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Saturday's not so bad. Friday, you can live with it, although we're going to be working the next morning.
And then you got to get up for church Sunday.
And always, I got to get up for church. I usually do 2 sessions.
You go to
I do
Grace,
the morning session.
You go to Grace at 9:30.
I do a day-night doubleheader.
It's not that long.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor Sean
is it under
Sears.
3 hours now?
No, really? No, it is. It's great. I'm dying to get you there. Now that you're sitting home loafing all the time, you should bring your son down. At least give him a shot at it.
We exposed both of our sons to religion.
Yeah.
They both attended church and Sunday school, and we did some Bible readings.
Different. You need somebody to explain it to you so you can at least understand it.
Do you know anybody?
Yeah. Kirk Minahane.
Yeah, there you go. All right, 617-779-7937. The baseball guys.
I think he's coming back.
Can we just get to a break and we'll ponder that? You're all over the place, as usual.
Do you ever listen to the station during the week? People on here doing whatever they feel like doing. Remember, for a while, you got to hit the clock on time. You got to do the trending exactly right at the top of the hour. Now, man, they're doing the trending 20 past. I mean, it's crazy. Everybody's doing what they want to do.
See, unlike them, I'm a dedicated professional who believes in the sanctity of the clock.
Yeah, when did you change?
I've always been that way.
Yeah, people want to hear about how your tutoring is going, too.
I'm sure people are fascinated.
Yeah, somebody told me you're hitting on the parents.
Pam, my lovely wife, he's just kidding. Repeat. He's just kidding.
Yeah, he only takes kids whose parents are divorced.
617-779-7937.
I heard you're doing quite well.
Thank you. And I know everybody's, again, very
617-779-7937. Load them up.
By the way, it's a 3-hour tour, Mustard and Johnson till noon, right?
Nobody
here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
There was a show, and this guy was crushing David. You know, I get it. We know the numbers. You know, he has struggled in the postseason, but the way he talked about David, man, I was like, wow, this is amazing, you know? And I heard it. I was like, you know what? He's going to be fine. And when I saw him throw 94, 95 with that changeup, and, you know, throughout the start, I was like, dude, this is going to be great.
That was Alex Cora. We had the boys yesterday afternoon, OMF, right here on WEEI. And, of course, I still don't understand. Listen, I love Cora. How could you not like him? He's not going to win Manager of the Year because he inherited a team that went to 2 straight playoff appearances and a division winner. But he has been amazing. And, you know, I think he's the single reason why the Red Sox are where they are right now. I mean, Farrell had like many managers, it overstayed his welcome. It was the right move to make. You know, they had won a lot of games for John Farrell the last couple of years. They were also in last place a couple of years. They won a World Series, but it was time for John Farrell to move on. And Alex Cora is the modern manager. And, I mean, has anybody pushed more right buttons than Alex Cora?
That's the thing with him. He has... He's stuck by his convictions, and he's made some decisions that people didn't necessarily agree with at the time, but he stuck with them. He seems to have the confidence of the players, and I got to tell you, he's made the season enjoyable, not just the fact that they've been winning. Remember I told you last year, when they finished in first place, they were not a likable team.
Last year especially, yeah.
Yeah. This is a very likable team.
Well, again.
No, seriously.
It's impossible for a team that wins 108 games not to be likable if you're in that fan base.
Okay, will they finish in first place last year?
They did.
Okay, but they weren't likable.
Right. Okay. Well, because last year, and maybe now things have changed, what defined the 2017?
The Price situation.
David Price versus Dennis Eckersley completely destroyed the season.
Pedroia was out of line with the Orioles. Remember little Dustin?
That's right. He used to play for the Red Sox, didn't he?
He's still around. I always loved him as a player, so hopefully he'll be fine. Listen, we don't have any interview scheduled today. I think sometimes when I listen to the radio, interviews really... they really get in the way of a show.
Then why do you keep scheduling them? You saddle me with all these interviews.
When you say 3 hours, you say that's a long time. Maybe
for
we'll
you
get,
it is,
we'll
yeah.
get somebody to break it up.
Wait a minute. Are you okay working 3 hours? Are you gonna have the stamina, the resilience, the perseverance, the endurance to do it?
If I'm not here in the last hour, then you'll know.
Because usually you're whining and complaining, but you have to work 3 hours. Because I know that your busy schedule doesn't allow for it.
I got to do some tutoring.
Right.
No, I said I'd like to know ahead of time. That's all.
Okay. And you found out yesterday morning.
Yes, I did.
About 7 o'clock yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you were jubilant.
Plenty of time. I had to cancel the card games and all that stuff.
617.
We're all set.
We're all set.
Load them up.
All right. And as usual, to kick things off in that leadoff spot, the Mookie Betts of Sports Radio WEEI's Mustard and Johnson show.
A five-tool caller.
Now, come on, Mookie. Did you really make that catch out there? Were you interfered with or not? That's
absolutely.
The question.
Had them all the way.
All right. What's happening?
Hey,
Andy?
How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. First off, I like to say the obvious. Alex Cora deserves all the accolades that are coming his way, and we'll get more. I'm certain of it. The other thing is, with this, I feel that the other gentleman, or John Farrell, I think he was just too uptight to manager or manage his team specifically, and things kind of got away from him. But I mean, Cora psychologically has pushed all the right buttons, handled the press extremely well. Nothing's perfect, but he's done pretty bloody good.
Well, you know, and Farrell came in out of nowhere. That was the most improbable of these Red Sox teams in the 21st century. They really didn't have great talent. Right. And as I've said many times, you've heard me say it, John Farrell's greatest credential in 2013 was his name wasn't Bobby Valentine.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
That is true.
But Alex Cora is more than just being the anti-Farrell.
He knows the game. And more importantly, he knows his player.
Right.
I also think the situation, not that it should, but I think the situation with the reporter, with Farrell.
Oh, that was brutal.
That didn't help. It didn't help any.
I don't want to go there.
I'm just saying, though, when you start measuring all the different ingredients, it wasn't as smooth a transition as it could have been. And I think Cora just came in, and he is what he is. And I think that's it.
He has a matter of factness about him. I mean,
you're talking baseball.
Right. Very
really.
Well said. Hey, the other thing, I want to give a little credit to Ben Sherrington. This core is his core.
Yeah, it is. I alluded to it a little bit earlier. And for anybody to think, and Ben Sherrington, unfortunately, you know, he did win that World Series in 2013, and he was kind of drummed unceremoniously out of here.
Right, he was. That's true.
But Dombrowski, as now, you know, he's going to get all the credit, but a lot of those players, you're right, were Sherrington's.
By Sherrington. It really was.
Yep, you're right.
And by the way, on this, on what has happened to some of the players, without this kid, this big Texan, Nathan Eovaldi, they don't get through New York and they don't win this series. We can rave about Price. He did a nice job. Hats off to him. But without Eovaldi, they're not through New York.
Well, hold on a second. I want to push back on that a little bit. And I, you know, his performance was fantastic.
Absolutely.
And he shut down the Yankees in New York, which nobody has done in the last couple of years. They'd won a lot of games in a row, including the Astros last year.
Has Stanton gotten the base hit yet?
Who?
Stanton.
He's still swinging at that pitch on the 5 feet
about
off the
10
plate.
Feet from home plate.
But Eovaldi's been a stabilizing force in that game 3 slot.
Right. They're not winning it.
Well, I think the performance against Houston is more impressive because the Red Sox broke out.
Right.
Remember against Severino and Boone was just terrible as far as giving the hook to Severino in that game 3. But for Eovaldi to come back and do it again against the Astros.
I'd love to see him do this in the World Series.
Well, I think it's going to be easier. I think it'll be easier because, I mean, neither one of those lineups are the Astros and the Yankees.
No, that's true.
Right.
The Dodgers can hit the ball. I'm rooting for Milwaukee, the Marquette Warriors princess there, a trendy favorite team. So I'm rooting for Milwaukee.
Now, wait a minute. As a Red Sox fan, Andy, who would you rather see? You'd probably rather see the Brewers, right?
I would rather see the Brewers.
Yeah, they have the Colorado Rockies written all over them.
Yes.
They remind me of the Rockies, basically.
Yes, that's a very good analogy. Yeah. I do think the Dodgers could catch lightning in a bottle. I mean, they do have talent, and that's Kershaw. I don't know who's out there after Kershaw, to be honest with you.
Well, they have Rich Hill. You know, he's 39 years old,
throws
85-mile-an-hour fastball.
They're
but he,
missing people there, and their bullpen's not the best. I mean, they're favorite going to either one. I will pick – I'll go out of the limb here, the Sox and six, no matter who they're playing.
I would even go – I would probably say 5, but good call, Andy, as usual. I don't want to be overconfident.
No.
But seriously.
Mookie and Martinez, though, what a combination, those two.
So what do you do when you play in the National League?
I don't know. How's that for
Mookie's got to go to center field. You put J.D. in right. Keep Benintendi. I know this is like – look at his face. You mean you're suggesting the MVP?
The guy wins the MVP for the last series.
Look, you should see his face, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm turning white, if you can believe that. The guy wins the MVP for the last series, and you want to bench him.
He had 3 hits in the series. I know he had nine ribbies and a grand slam.
Tell me the hits he got.
Okay, all right. Thinking about, the Red Sox.
I hate that it even has to come to this, though. It's
a nice problem to have.
No, it's not.
Why not? Well, that means you have 4 starters capable of doing a lot of damage. Now, JBJ, you know what happens when he gets on a roll? We've seen these hot streaks before. Remember when he first came up, he was hitting like something like 450 in his first 10 games or something like that, even longer stretch. Like the month of August, he was like over 400 when he first came up. We know he can light it up very quickly, and he can cool down just as quickly. I would rather, as great as that glove is, it really didn't come into play much in the Astros series. Mookie is a great center fielder, just not quite as good at that position than JBJ is.
Mm.
You're not losing much defensively, and that's your best offensive configuration with Benintendi, Mookie, and J.D. Martinez from left to right. You don't like that, do you? You don't want to take JBJ out.
No, I don't.
Okay. So
no, I don't.
Okay,
but
so
I mean,
give me your alternative.
But you don't. I told you, put Betts at second.
He played one game this year at second base. At this point, you're going to have Betts playing second base and trying to turn the double play? I'm sorry, that's not going to work.
Well,
it's either Betts stays in right, you're going to keep JBJ there, so you're going to take Benintendi out. You're going to put J.D. Martinez in left where he really prefers right field. That's what he played in Arizona, right field.
No, I know. I'm
you don't want to get – you don't want to get – you love JBJ, and you're in your glory right now because he's the MVP.
You're going to go 3 games, and he's not playing.
But think about it. How about when Holt hit for the cycle in that Yankee game?
I know.
The next game, he's out.
I know.
I mean, it's not unlike Cora to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, again, nice problem to have. 617-779-7937. Chuck in North Andover is next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Chuck.
Well, yeah, it's averages and it's odds, right? So David Price plays on a lot of good teams. He's a really good pitcher, and eventually he's going to win a game, isn't he?
I would agree.
You're saying there's no way that the Dodgers or Milwaukee can win, and the odds I heard out of Vegas was something like 6-5. And those bookies know what they're doing.
6-5?
He's right around it.
Wait a minute.
So if you don't think there's any way, I wish I could have heard your show the Saturday before the Patriots played the Giants the first time around in the Super Bowl, because you were probably saying...
No, no. As a matter of fact, I don't know what we predicted. Wait, I don't think anybody said that, because if you remember, the Giants played well in that last regular season game against the Patriots when the Patriots went 16-0. Remember that game?
So, all as I know is the Red Sox have won 3 World Series that they've been in, and law averages and odds say the more times you appear, the more times the odds are that you might lose.
All right.
So don't say there's
all right,
no way.
Chuck. Okay. All right. They've been different teams. I understand that. None of the players in the previous World Series are here now. Okay. We understand
that. It's a different team every year.
They're dominant. They've been dominant. And the other thing is the National League is inferior to the American League. Would you admit that?
We're down to the final 3 teams, and you got to play their game in their stadium 3 times.
All right. So
I would never say no way.
Yeah,
all right, you give me, Chuck, okay, you give me a plausible scenario where one of those 2 teams beats the Red Sox. How?
Here you go. Here's your plausible scenario. Sale is not Sale. Price is Price.
Well played.
In Boston, and they're going to Milwaukee, and we'll talk about what the series is like then.
Yeah. I think their chances are much greater. Not much greater. I think they'll beat either team.
Is Sale 100%?
I don't think so.
Neither do I.
You can lay some money on it. That's the way you can show what
I am not afflicted by that disease. See, I can shoot my mouth off because I don't. I'm not afflicted with that particular disease. I'm just looking at it from a What? But I can only make predictions if I'm putting money on it?
When you interview to become a talk radio host, they say, do you feel comfortable saying stupid things without laughing? And if you answer that question right, you get the job. So
Chuck, how did you know that? That is exactly what
were you
did.
In the room?
Were you in the business?
It would be a boring show if you got on there and said, this is going to be a good series, competitive. So you got to say, there's no way. And please.
You found me out, Chuck. You know, I thought I could pull the wool over his eyes, but I have been exposed once again.
I think the Red Sox are going to win. I really do.
Right.
I think they'll win within 6. They'll win.
Yeah, I 5
but
or
I'm
6.
Not going to sit here like you and say, no way can the Dodgers or Brewers win.
I think the Dodgers would give them a better fight than the Brewers. The Brewers, as I said with Andy, they're just the 2018 version of the Rockies from 07. Cardinals weren't just laid down in 04. They gave Red Sox a little bit of a tussle in 13 with a 6-game series. But maybe if they play the Dodgers, they'll win in 6. If they play Milwaukee, they won't come back from Milwaukee. They won't have to come back from Milwaukee. They'll have won a World Series by the time they leave there. All right, ALCS coverage. It's all over. We don't even have to talk about ALCS. We can talk about it in retrospect. Because it's over in 5. I don't think a lot of people expected us to be already looking ahead to the World Series on Saturday. But it is brought to you by Old Dominion Freight Line and your local area Mercedes-Benz dealers. 617-779-7937. More of your calls coming up. Mustard and Johnson till noon on Sports Radio.
Outfielder step to the right to pitch. Swing and a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on. Dives! And did he make the catch? He did! He got it.
The Red Sox win.
As I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down.
Joe literally going head over heels, one of the many calls he's made over the last 15 years. And that was the play of the series. Because if you think about it, that first inning interference call could have mattered. That would have been a 2-run home run. But the Astros came back and actually took the lead. If that ball gets by Benintendi, it's 2 runs, maybe 3. The series is tied. Then the whole psychological thing for David Price kicks in again in game number 5. He doesn't have the 3-1 lead. Maybe he doesn't turn in that performance. So as spectacular as the Mookie play would have been if he made the catch and not interfered with, it's really the Benintendi catch that makes the difference. We'd be talking about a game six right now probably if he doesn't make that catch, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Because even if he traps it, it's two runs.
Yeah, and the momentum was certainly going in the
exactly
in the other direction.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Red Sox awaiting the winner of the Dodgers and Brewers in game seven tonight. First pitch, 8:09 at the Fens on Tuesday. And here to look back on the Astros series is Peter from Beverly. Hey, Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Well, how you doing?
All right. If you had told me, you know, a week ago that the Boston Red Sox were going to go into Houston in three straight, I'd be running around getting them in with the white coats and the nets to have you brought into the asylum.
I guarantee you there's not one person either on the Red Sox or rooting for the Red Sox who thought that would ever happen. Seriously, they're 5-0 on the road in the postseason. It's ridiculous.
I was hoping that they win one game and bring it back to Boston. That's all they needed was one game.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of the, again, you know, all these so-called pundits, and no one really could predict what was going to happen in either the Yankee or the Astros series. But for them to rip the Yankees 16-1, totally and thoroughly humiliate them, win that series down there, sweep them that series, I mean, come on, that's so improbable. And to do it without Sale, to have JBJ be your offensive star, none of it seems to make a lot of sense, does it, Peter?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, I can't predict the weather or anything else. I have no idea who's going to win the Red Sox. I know the Red Sox will be favored. Well, so what? Houston was favored. Don't mean anything.
But you know what? Just based on their performance, I know there were different teams, but you'd have to admit, Peter, that the National League is not as strong as the American League.
I will admit that.
Right.
You know, I go through occasionally during the season, and I'll figure out what division has the best average, and always it's an American League division that has the best overall win-loss percentage. And they look at what the Red Sox do to National League teams and into league play, no question about it.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that the it's easier to pitch against National League teams. Thank you for the call, Peter. Particularly in the National League Park, because you're dealing with the pitcher and not the DH. And the Red Sox really, it was more of an issue, I think, with Ortiz in those three. Because Ortiz is the greatest DH
of all time.
Right.
The other thing with the Red Sox, it's interesting when you go over the stats. They really, it really was a case of timely hitting. It's not like anybody was, Devers had a really nice batting
average. I would say
that
was a timely hit.
Yeah. But nobody, nobody else. Everybody else was around 220, 218, 220. Yeah. But it was the timing of the hits that made the difference.
Right. And Bradley Grand Slam, that sealed the deal. That would be Jackie Bradley Jr., affectionately known as JBJ, the guy that you refused to pull from the lineup.
Against the L.A. Dodgers in L.A.?
You know, maybe it depends.
I know what you're saying.
This is what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to what happened in the first two games at Fenway. Who's pitching? What are the pitching matchups? And that's how Cora works. It's all going to be analytically based. But just from a gut perspective, just a gut sense of an instinctual sense of I'd rather have my best bats in that lineup. And my best bats, sorry, JBJ.
For the World Series?
Starting rotation, same as what you've seen already.
Sale, Price.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Who's your third one?
Wildy, obviously, in game three.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Not Porcello.
I would say Porcello's fine in the fourth slot.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's been, I mean, he pitched well.
7.2 in run average.
Well, there have been times where he's obviously not been great. So, all right, why do you have to throw in numbers? I mean, I was rolling there. But,
you sound like you really know what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Jack in Fall River.
Jack!
On Sports Radio, WBEI.
How are you guys?
How are you doing?
Oh, good, pretty good. I was just listening to you guys and a couple of days, and I've never heard anybody mention Hanley Ramirez. You think he's got anything to do with the team being better and winning?
Yeah, there's another issue that a lot of people were wrong on, including me. A lot of people felt that the Red Sox were foolish to dump Hanley, a guy that had a very good postseason batting average the last couple of years for the Red Sox. Why dilute your offensive power by getting rid of Hanley? And you know what? Didn't hurt at all, did it, Jack?
Right. I think that was one of Carlos' best moves.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm not sure if it was totally him. I'm not sure if he initiated that or that came from the front office. But whoever made the decision, it was the right decision. In a series of decisions that have gone Alex Cora's way all year long, really.
Well, we're looking at how Farrell was, right? And yeah. Maybe that was part of the reason that he never got any further than the first round.
What, because of Hanley? Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, I think there you could make a case, and, you know, Hanley got involved. Thanks for the call, Jack. Hanley got involved in some potentially illegal activities.
Yeah, fortunately, nothing ever came out of that.
No, and I'm not sure if that compromised.
So even though you want to rip the guy. And
I'm one of the people that thought they'd made a mistake, again, wrong. Addition by subtraction. They got rid of him, and they went on to 108 wins, and they're going to go win a World Series. It was very similar. I brought this up at the time. If you remember back in 86, the best player in the Mets the previous four or five seasons was a guy named George Foster. Remember George Foster?
Oh, yeah.
He was the left fielder.
Cincinnati Reds.
Yep, big contract. He was one of those early free agents, and a big deal with the Mets. The Mets struggled for two or three years. He was the star. By the time they got good, George Foster was still the left fielder, but he wasn't as productive, and they just cut him. He was the starting left fielder. They just cut him, like in June of that year, went on to 108 wins, and we know what happened after that. And I think the same thing's going to happen for the Red Sox.
Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. One down, two more to go. It's Mustard and Johnson as we look ahead to World Series 2018 Fenway on Tuesday night. We know it's going to be Chris Sale for the Red Sox. We await the winner of the Brewers and Dodgers tonight. Your thoughts and comments on the Astros series, looking ahead to the World Series. Give us a buzz. 617-779-7937. Mustard and Johnson continues right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.